Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Olympic morning. It is Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
It's me. Sorry, I'm watching live streaming online of the Olympic cross-country
coverage. I knew this was
going to
be a problem.
Right now, I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 30th, 2012, episode 455, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Oh, this is just what a beautiful, beautiful day in Greenwich at the Horse Park in London. It is absolutely spectacular. And how cool is it that we can sit here, like I'm sitting here on my smartphone watching Irish riders on Master Crusoe go through the cross country course almost exactly live. Technology is the coolest thing of all time. Are you watching, Glenn?
Yes, I am watching. I've been watching since the first ride. Boyd Martin this morning, who did an excellent ride, by the way. I think he sort of set the tempo for the day. But, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the Olympics today. We have reports coming in from London also. We'll get caught up on what happened with dressage over the weekend. And then hopefully we'll be talking to Samantha from London today about the cross country. Hopefully she can get through. But, yeah, lots of good stuff today. And I watched some other sports, too, I'm going to have to talk about. Plus, later on in the show, Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up because we got some fun stuff. Let's go right to Jennifer.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we are out of the start box at a full gallop, as mentioned, with plenty of Olympic opinions. And Call It a Win is back this morning, so put us on speed dial, 347-637-3238, and wait for the which sound, Glenn?
We'll announce it later in the show. They'll know.
Oh, okay. Wait for the announcement and then call in for your chance to win a fantastic mystery sack of swag. And for those of you whose horse habit leans a little bit further west than London, Tammy Sarantz is here from the Western Radio Show, and she has a really cool ride coming up that she's involved with called Ride to Remember that she's going to tell us about. And I got to hear the interview with the folks who organized this rider. Interesting, fascinating, and entertaining, too. And being Monday and all, Wiley Leslie is here from Horse Nation, and we will have the opening ceremonies fashion review. And I'm going to apologize in advance for the entire country for the significant drop in worker productivity that will be seen in the gross national product when the end of the year numbers are done. And it's because NBC Live Extra's fault for streaming Olympic equestrian coverage free over the interweb. Thank you.
Can you believe this, Jamie? By the way, do you think anybody is listening to us right now? Do you think there's anybody listening to us?
Glenn, I'm not even listening to us. Holly Bennett and Jen and Juice just left the start box. Can I just, do the coverage.
Do you want to hear a little bit of it?
Yes, I want to talk about this, too. We've got things to discuss.
All right, here we go.
Again.
We're going to listen to a little bit. Something happened. Oh, there they go. Here comes Gin and Juice, Holly Bennett from Canada. Of course, I turned this on and the announcer says nothing. he's been talking all day nonstop, and now he's not saying anything.
Not he's home and dry.
There we go.
Nice enough.
cross country, though, there was this little thing called dressage over the weekend. Radio show was kind enough to do a report for us late last night and send it over to us. And let me tell you what, you're going to love this report because Samantha can pronounce all the names, unlike Jamie and I, and she makes it sound terrific. So let's listen to what happened over the weekend in the dressage and eventing at the Olympics. Samantha Clark from the Eventing Radio Show.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Glenn. I've got a quick report on the dressage of the Olympic eventing for you. Japanese public relations professional Yoshi Oiwa is the name on everybody's lips after the first phase is done and dusted. He rode a correct, soft, and pleasing test on Noonday Deconde to take and hold the lead with a score of 38.1, much to most people's surprise. Buddhist monk Kenki Sato, also riding for Japan, posted a good score of 42, and with the three remaining Japanese riders all coming in under 60 penalties, their team goes into the cross-country phase in sixth place, some 8 points ahead of the USA, who languish in seventh. I've been so mesmerized by Italy's Vittoria Panizon and her wonderful white jumping machine Burra Penuzzi all year that I completely overlooked her compatriot Stefano Bracciaroli. He gave everyone an absolute dressage demonstration on the big, moving, and impressive Apollo VD Vendicurt Hoove, but let's just call him Apollo. Stunning paces, and with that extra dash of Italian extravagance and flair, they brought the wow factor into the ring, and combined with accuracy and fluidity, it looked as if they might be hard to beat. With a score of 38.5, they go forward to the cross-country in second place individually. After a trying day for New Zealand, the pressure was on team stalwart Mark Todd, and he delivered. The very last test of the day, he conjured up a 39.1 out of Campino, a relatively green ride, moving into third place individually and helping New Zealand tie for fourth place as a team with the Swedes. Teammate Andrew Nicholson had a good test for 45, but told reporters angrily that he'd been on song to do the test of a lifetime until a 10-minute rain delay interfered with his warm-up. Caroline Powell's Lennon Moore was also a bit tense and strong for a somewhat disappointing mark in the 50s. However, I spoke briefly to Jock Padgett last night, and he said his plans, as were those of the entire Kiwi team, were to go hard and fast, straight and true. Germany dominates the team leaderboard, but Michael Young did not deliver the test everyone expected. Instead, Sam had a few bobbles and it lacked a little conviction, so that unbelievably, with Ingrid Klimke lying fourth on 39.3, Dirk Schrader lying sixth with 39.8, and Sandra Afforth lying seventh with 40, the current world and European champion score of 40.6 and 11th place individually will actually be a discard score. Australia have turned in one consistent test after another, and all five of their riders scored in the 40s. Lucinda Fredericks is the best of them on an even 40 with a lovely, genuine flying finish, and her husband Clayton is just 0.4 of a penalty behind her on Bendigo. Great Britain are third in the team standings. They're heading into the cross-country with Mary King flying the Union Jack on a score of 40.9 for 12th place on Imperial Cavalier. Tina Cook and Magnus Follick were out-and-out professionals, ignoring the torrential rain on Sunday afternoon throughout their test and scoring 42, while William Fox Pitt and Zara Phillips are just a few points behind her, also in the 40s. Will Coleman and Philip Dutton both rode good tests on Sunday for the US, and their horses responded well and rose to the occasion. The scores are all incredibly tight, and both the riders and course designer Sue Benson are on record and in agreement that time across country will be of the essence. After a few heavy downpours on Sunday, the forecast for cross country day is good weather-wise and incredible as far as the competition is concerned. Mark Todd has put himself in position with a live chance of garnering a third individual gold, and we'll finally get to see how the horses cope with the hills of Greenwich Park over a 10-minute 51 course. Good luck to all the riders. May they come home safely. And don't forget to please listen to the Eventing Radio Show online on Thursday for more detailed coverage of the Olympic Games. Be safe and enjoy your eventing.
Thank you to Samantha Clark of the Eventing Radio Show for that update on dressage. Now, while we were listening to that, there I think Holly Bennett took a spill. My video stopped, so I don't know what's going on, Jamie. Is your video still going?
Yeah, basically it looks, I didn't see where she came off. They didn't show that. Of course, they will always have their thrills and spills of the Olympics, you know, and that'll always make it.
Yes.
So we'll see it there probably. But yeah, it looks like she came off at some point during the course, and Jen and Juice just decided to finish it without her. I mean,
yeah,
he was
flying.
Hauling mail down that lane. So they have actually now delayed the competition again as they're trying to probably wrangle Jen and Juice and get him back together, meet him up with his rider somewhere along the lines. But they have delayed the competition for now so we can all, like, focus on something for a minute. And can you believe this course right now? It is so slick, Glenn. I'm watching horse after horse just in the galloping lane slip out from underneath them. What's the deal?
Well, from what I heard, there were some complaints from some of the riders before yesterday when they were walking the course that they had mowed the galloping lanes too short. Usually, like, if you go to Rolex and things, the grass will be 2 to 3 inches long. It'll be pretty long grass. That gives them some bite. Even with their studs, it can get, you know, if you mow it too short, it gets to be like a golf course, and golf courses get slick because the grass is so short. Well, they mowed this. If you look at those videos, they mowed this golf course short. It's short. And that was one of the complaints a lot of the rider had. Now, usually they put in the appropriate studs, and it compensates for that. They did have a lot of rain yesterday, but there's no rain today. It's a beautiful day there today. So I don't know if the rain yesterday had something to do with it or the rain for the last.
Oh,
going on.
You dropped off. Yeah, so. Yeah, you're dropping out a little bit there. But, yeah, with all the rain that they've had for months and months in England, you would think that this would be the most spectacular day for cross-country ever. And it really looks like it is. They had some trouble with some rain during the dressage days. But watching these guys go out, and this course is spectacular. It goes through the dressage arenas and up and around, and the views of the city from this park are just absolutely spectacular. They are having massive problems going clear. I think they've had one or two clear rides right now. Actually, only just one, and it was the second ride of the day. And nobody is going clear. Karen O'Connor just got done, and I think she was 15 seconds slow. It is incredibly hard to make the time on this course.
Well, and I think that's partly why they're pushing it really hard, and that's probably why you're seeing some slipping, is they're really pushing to hit that time. And with eventing, can you explain to everybody that is not an eventer, it's an optimal time, right? Or it's under time?
So say their time, I think, is 10 minutes and 48 seconds. They have to come as close to 10 minutes and 48 seconds without going over it. And every second that they go over, it gives them 0.4 time penalties. So it is incredibly important to make time because those penalties add up real quick. Just ask me because I've been quite late on cross country before. And then all of a sudden you have a buku amount of penalties for only being 20 seconds slow. Now, you can go too fast as well. I don't know if you can even go too fast in the advanced Olympic division.
Is there penalties for that if you come in way under?
In the lower levels, there is. If you come in way under, you can be eliminated because you're riding too fast. You're supposed to ride the speed of your level, which, like, say, my level, we were supposed to go 375 meters per minute. So the course is however many meters, they multiply that by the amount of time, and that's how you kind of get the time. So say I'm supposed to ride 375 meters a minute, and I'm going to ride this course that is, you know, 5 minutes and 30 seconds long. Then do the math, and that's how many meters the course is. So these guys, they ride 550 meters a minute or 600 meters a minute. I really should have done my homework on this before you asked me. But I've got a bone to pick with you, Glenn.
What? What did I do?
I would like
I
all of our listeners.
I watched dressage this weekend. What do you want from me?
I am so frustrated with you right now because,
yes,
you know, and I love her. And we're going to have Tammy Trance on from the Western Radio Show to talk about a ride that's coming up. But what did you tell me when you said we're having Tammy on?
I said there are some people that are probably don't care about eventing right now and are going on with their life doing other things in the horse world.
Glenn, you said there are horse people that don't care about eventing and they don't care about the cross-country day. That is what you said to me. And let me just tell you that the Olympics changes everything, my friend. Do you know what I did this weekend? Let me tell you what I did.
You didn't rush massage like me. I am the true devotee.
Listen to me. It's not 3 o'clock in the morning your time. I would like to tell you that horse people, it doesn't matter what's on the Olympics, horse people are going to watch it. Because I sat through water polo, men's beach volleyball, rowing, basketball, swimming, archery, judo, shooting, cycling. That was all yesterday. So you know what? Any horse person in the world cares about the eventing that's going on right now because it's horses. If I can sit through 2 matches of freaking water polo, they can have us talk about cross country. Am I right? Am I right?
You know, I will say that there were some sports I didn't – again, we talked about sports that we didn't know were sports, and now there's now that I'm watching, there's sports I didn't even know existed, like handball. I didn't know what handball was till I watched it. I thought that you hit a ball against the wall. That was the handball I was familiar with. This is completely different. By the way, I just have an update here from what I'm seeing in the video. It looks like they just put Holly Bennett in the ambulance. So let's hope she's okay. They just put somebody in the ambulance. I'm assuming it was her at this point. And we were hoping that Samantha would be able to call us from London to give us an update, but she wasn't sure she would have a connection where she was and how the cell towers and everything were going to be. So I'm assuming that at this point that she doesn't have a good connection.
They did not. I've got a little update on Holly here. Apparently she fell at fence 3 and appears to have hurt her ankle. So they did not show it on video, but apparently fall-related defense 3, and I guess she was up and grabbing her ankle.
That's too bad. Polly Bennett's one of the Canadians, and, I got to watch Jessica Phoenix ride yesterday, by the way, do her dressage test. And yeah, she had a couple bobbles along the way, but she looked terrific. This was her first Olympics. She's 7, 8 years old. And then you see her going up against the veterans. By the way, I know you didn't get to watch much of the dressage because it was so early there. The Japanese rider who Samantha talked about, who's leading the way, had an absolutely unbelievably beautiful test. It was shocking because you kind of weren't expecting it when he came in. And then when you watched his test, I know Jennifer will agree with me here, we watched it together. You were just fascinated by that horse. It was just beautiful. And I think Jennifer's making a call right now, but the horse was just beautiful. It was and the Japanese apparently train with the Germans, which is why their dressage is so good. Now we'll see if he maintains. Apparently, cross country is not one of his specialties, so we'll see if his first place spot after today. Go ahead.
That's part of the problem is these event horses, the ones that, you know, it just seems to be the ones that are amazing at dressage have a hard time, you know, making time on the course, and vice versa. The ones that maybe our cross-country machines have trouble with dressage. So it's going to be exciting. There's going to be – when I looked at the standings of yesterday and watched, like, kind of read, like, who's in first all the way down – I just said to myself, there's going to be some big changes. There's going to be some big changes tomorrow.
Do you know the most emotional ride of the day, and probably the one that we were most emotional after, was somebody that you talked about on Friday, and that's Mark Todd out of New Zealand. He just had an unbelievable ride to go into third place. He was one of the last riders, or the last rider. I think he was the last one. And he just had an absolutely beautiful ride. He looked like the, 7-time Olympian that he is. And he just composes himself. He doesn't look like he gets nervous. And also, that's the same way. Wheat Box Pitt ended up 17th after yesterday, tied for 17th place. But Mark Todd was tied for or in third place after dressage.
Yeah, he was, and then, I mean, he's just as classy as they come, you know. And then Ingrid Klimke coming in fourth place. I mean, she can ride the paint off of a fence, you know what I mean? Like, she's amazing. Lucinda Frederick sitting in seventh. Her husband right behind her at tenth. Now, I see this. And you've got Lucinda Fredericks and Clayton Fredericks riding as a married couple for the Australian team. Do you think that last night, as Lucinda Fredericks and Clayton Fredericks, oh, long day, honey. Okay, good night. And they crawl into bed together. She flips off the light. He flips off his light on his side of the bed. Do you think she then goes, ha ha, I'm beating you.
I put a beautiful picture of them on our Horses in the Morning page. Of the family with their child. It was a beautiful picture. Did you see that on the Horses in the Morning page?
Yes, they're so perfect. It's something funny. They're great. I see it. Hey, Glenn, I think you need to hang up and call back, buddy, because you are coming in and out really bad. Is that just me? All right, well, I think he's gone. Let me continue to go over the standings. You had Clayton Fredericks in 10th. Oh, thank you, Jennifer. We need to get rid of Glenn. Kick him out of here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Mary King, who, you know, came in first and second at Rolex in 2011, is sitting in 12th place. Andrew Hoy from Australia, 13th. Christina Cook in 14th. Going down the Philip Dutton is actually the highest place American yesterday at 17th, and he was tied for 17th. After that was Karen O'Connor at 29th. Now, obviously, these have changed dramatically because obviously some people have already ridden cross country. Boyd Martin was at 36th, but he actually had a fantastic ride this morning. Tiana Kudre, who her horse, Ringwood Magister, is such a phenomenal dressage horse. I guess they were a little bit tense yesterday when they were on course, and but this horse, to me, that horse does better than a 52 on a normal basis. What do you think, Jennifer?
I think that the judging was a little tough depending upon your geographic origins on dressage. Yeah.
Really?
I think they were a little tough on some of those riders. Yeah.
How so?
I think that horses that had naturally spectacular movement, which is, you know, that seems to be the trend right now, you know, knees that come up and pop them in the chin and you know, extended trots that their front toes come out and go a foot and a half beyond their nose and spend the entire test behind the vertical. Those horses, I think, tended to score higher than the accuracy of their test indicated. Seem to be the trend there. So send your hate mail to.
No. I mean, that's very common for any eventing. You know, I grew up riding this horse. His name was Marche, and he was a fantastic 16-hand downhill thoroughbred with the shortest neck. I mean, he was confirmationally not the most exciting thing to look at. And I had him from the age of 10 till the age of 8. I had him from the age of 10, my age 10, till I was 28 years old. So I had him for a very, very, very long time. And I put this horse through everything. And by the time I started eventing when I was 19 years old, he was as seasoned a campaigner in the hunter jumper world as they come. And he would go out and do his dressage test because we started eventing. And he would do his dressage test, and he was the most accurate horse that you could imagine out there, and always was in second place, because there's always somebody who's less accurate but fancier. Every single time I see them, I'm like, ugh, they're going to sit in first. Stupid,
yeah.
Like, really fancy, warm blood, flicking its toes out, and here's my little high knee bumping thoroughbred who's like, I'll do it as perfect as I can, mommy. And then there's some, you know, Sven from Sweden over there who's like, hello, look at me move, blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up with one of those warm bloods later on in life, and I was like, ooh, first place is fun.
Can I make a comment, though?
I'm
going to get letters from this one. I just don't like the German riders. I don't like their style. I just don't like
You're
going
to get hate mail. Send it to Glenn.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. But I just, something about them, I just don't like their style. They have a little bit different style. And I just,
very
the whole package just doesn't do a lot for me. Love the Australians, you know, love the Australians. They, by the way, the Australians are really sitting well in second place here. They have a darn good chance of taking that team medal. Just my opinion.
Well, I'm
but
not
what do
I comment
know?
On that.
I'm not a dressage guy. What do I know? I'm not a dressage guy. By the way, we do have a question from one of our non-horsey people that listens to this show, Tom up there in New England, who actually spent some time watching dressage over the weekend. And he said, watch dressage. By the way, congratulations, Tom, or not. I'm not sure which. And notice that the flower boxes with random letters are outside the arena. Why? I assume they are markers. What do the letters stand for? That's a good question. Now, we've always, those letters have always been there. You use them to tell which parts of the test go where. But they are in an odd order. They're not like A, B, C, D, E, F around the ring. They're in an odd order, in odd placing. So, Jennifer, do you know why they are the way they are?
I have wondered that, Tom Rittenhouse, for the past 30 years, and I was never able to find anything vaguely resembling an answer. Thank goodness for Google. So I found the answer, BritishDressage.co.uk, and then a whole bunch of stuff after that, but that's basically where it came to. And the several theories, markings found on the walls of the royal stables of the Imperial German Court in Berlin prior to 1918, Germany, suggest that they indicated where each rider's horse was to stand while awaiting their rider. The distance between the buildings was the size of a dressage arena, and the horse, the name of the rider was on a sign, and those letters on the sign, the first letter of the rider's name, correspond with all of the letters that are now in a dressage arena.
Huh. So do you mean that if there was like 10 acres between the buildings, the dressage test would be over 10 acres now?
Yes.
It's a good thing, Jamie. Jet would think it was a racetrack.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is a funny one here. The actual markings on the walls of the facility that they got this from, the letter A, it said, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, let me apologize in advance to our German-speaking listeners, Ausgang, or exit, was the letter A. Well, that's the exit of our dressage arena.
Hold on.
You know, and it,
Let me I got to tell you a little story about that, because I thought it was actually Ausfahrt, or how do you say it again?
Well, let me go to here and see. Oh, it doesn't have it. A-U-S-G-A-N-G.
Ausgang. Let me just tell you that I was in Germany, and I was visiting a girlfriend of mine. She was married to a guy that was a hockey player, and they were in Germany stationed for a year. He was playing with some teeny tiny little town. And I swear that every sign on the freeway said Ausgang, Ausgang, Ausgang. And I said to her, I said, Lexi, what is this town, Ausgang, that we should go to? Every sign points to Ausgang. We've got to go there. She's like, that means exit, you idiot.
So you have that imprinted in your brain.
I do. The thing you said, it, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, so exit the arena at A, which stands for, I got it. That makes total sense to me now. I thought it was some magical, mythical town in Germany. They're like, oh, head this way to Ausgang. And no, it just said exit, you idiot.
Well, Tom, thank you for that question. I hope that at least starts to answer it. I think everybody's gotten an answer that has wondered about that. Let's take a break for our commercial for Omega Alpha. And actually, the commercial today is done by Jessica Phoenix, the Olympian, who I got to watch ride a little bit yesterday and who should be on course here shortly, although the video has now gone off and it says coverage will return. So I have no video right now. I don't know if anybody else does. Are you in the same way?
Well, I'm following the Horse and Hound live blog. I am multitasking my butt off today, let me just tell you that. I'm following the Horse and Hound live blog, which you can also access on eventingnation.com. They are starting to restart things right now, I guess, because they're a little bit ahead of us on the blog. But I guess it was all the fact that they had to bring the ambulance out for Holly Bennett, and maybe there's potential that they had to do some jump reconstruction.
Oh, it's probably one of the breakaway jumps that they had to fix then. Okay, cool. Well, let's take a break for Omega Alpha, and we'll be right back with more. Later on, we're going to be talking about the opening ceremonies, our opinions on that, and the fashion. We're going to ask you to call in about that, so we'd love to hear from you later on, 347-637-3238.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider, Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably, and I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Now, does it appear that the coverage is back live? We're very distracted today. I mean, even I'm distracted today.
Okay, so apparently fence three is causing some problems. Did you just see what happened?
I did. I'm a little bit behind you, I think.
Well, I think I'm just reading it online here. So Carl Buchart is on course, and I think is that what you see right now?
Yes, I see him just took fence one.
And there you go. So we have another fall on course, and we have another runaway horse. And Carl Buchart, who actually is stabled in Atlanta, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I'm from, Carl Buchart takes a fall at fence three, and the horse runs away. Now he's limping away. He's up and at him, but his air vest did inflate, and he is... I don't know what happened. The horse just really overjumped and twisted a little bit, and he got unseated.
You know, most of the falls today have not been, thank God, knock on wood, but there isn't any rotational falls, or, you know, they've just been, you know, hit the jump a little bit, tried to recover, and rider rolls off. We didn't get to see Holly, so we don't know what her story was, but you're right. This particular fall was one of those. You just saw it, yep.
Now, Carl Buchart is actually 58 years old. He's the oldest event rider at the Games. So that's pretty cool. That's a good, you know, and I just hate to see anybody fall off and get their Olympic dreams ended, especially at fence three.
All right. We're waiting. Actually, we're going to be having our first guest on here shortly, and we'll try and make the show a little more interesting than Jamie and I just watching the video here. Coming up, I have, while we're waiting for our first guest to come on here, I have a couple of interesting statistics for you. And, of course, this involves food. There are actually 23,900 athletes and team officials. There are 20,600 broadcasters and press. 20,600. I know. 4,800 Olympic and Paralympic families, and they expect to be serving at 14 million meals. Now, this is the food just in the Olympic Village, where the athletes and the officials and everybody are. So this gives you an idea of how much food they're serving over these 2 weeks. 25,000 loaves of bread, 232 tons of potatoes, 82 tons of seafood, 31 tons of poultry, 100 tons of meat, it is Britain after all, 75,000 liters of milk, 19, you're going to love this one, Jamie, 19 tons of eggs. Now, you know how many, you know, you collect eggs, your chickens lay eggs all the time. I wonder how many eggs are in a ton, and they're serving 19 tons of eggs. That's a lot of eggs.
That's disturbing. You know, 9 chickens. Do you know how many eggs I've gotten in the entire, like, say, just the last week? 9 chickens.
Wait, we used to have about that many chickens, and we used to get, like, 2 dozen eggs. It was more than we could.
Apparently, chickens don't like to lay when it's over 110 degrees. I got 2 in the entire week. So
yeah, they're having issues.
I would starve the team. I would starve everybody had I been responsible for providing eggs. Oh, my gosh. That's a ridiculous amount of eggs.
21 tons of cheese and more than 330 tons of fruit and vegetables. So if it makes you feel any better, there was 100 tons of meat, but 330 tons of fruit and vegetables. So we do have a 3-to-1 ratio of fruits and vegetables to meat.
Good. Maybe there's some vegetarians. See, these people are at the top of their game, okay? And they're vegetarians. That's what you should take a lesson from this. You might be an Olympic athlete if you just went vegetarian. It's working for me. Look at me. I'm a machine. What are
Glenn's
you doing?
Gone.
Okay.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I was just
Glenn, you promised you would turn off your live Olympic feed during the show.
I was
back
just
on,
dropping
didn't...
a note to Tammy to make sure she gives us a call here. She's going to be calling here in a second, so we'll get her on very shortly.
Looks like the course is open again. They're galloping around. Looks like safely again. Thank goodness.
Yes. And
now there was
you...
another. Go ahead, Jamie.
I was going to say, can you tell me the name of the rider that's currently on course?
No idea. I wasn't watching.
Takayuki Umira. Umira. Takayuki Umira.
Now, how did Rafalka do in dressage? I didn't take a look at that.
I haven't done it yet. The only coverage right now is the event.
No.
The event.
Oh, that's
what?
Right. You're right. Yep, sorry. I was thinking something
Rafalka,
else.
Yes, Rafalka is not an eventer.
Yeah.
It's just the eventing portion right now.
Sorry
so
about that.
So here's my question. If you are, say, going to, you're an eventer, and then you do your Olympics, and it takes the first four or five days, and you have a couple weeks right afterwards, do you hang out and watch the rest of it, or do you get your horse and you go home? Or do you wait till the closing ceremonies? What do most people do?
I think they leave, actually. And I think they actually make them get out because they only have so much space. I don't think you can stay. At least with the World Equestrian Games, you could not stay. They had certain times that certain groups had to be in and out because they reuse those stalls. Yeah, that's the way it worked at the WAG. It might be different here. Maybe they have enough room for all the horses, but most of them will leave because that's a long time. You got to figure that tomorrow the show jumping will be. They'll do the award ceremony tomorrow for eventing, and then dressage will start. So the eventers aren't going to hang around for another week and a half.
Yeah, and I would
they probably aren't able to ride their horses either. You know, a lot to practice and things, or you know, to even cool their horses out and have turnout and stuff. So I imagine they'll get the heck out.
Yeah, but probably. I would like to. I would be like, oh, I'm just going to watch, you know, badminton. But I would like to point out that I want to call BS on this because I'm watching yesterday in swimming, and I watched some of the shooting, and I watched, you know, what there are different portions of it. Now the swimming, all they have to do, Glenn, all they have to do is jump in on one end of the pool and swim to the other end of the pool, and they get a freaking medal. A medal, and they swam like 40 seconds. I would like to call BS on this because here we are watching the eventing, which takes 3 days. You have to have your horse trained to the utmost, I mean the nth degree. Your horse has to be better than any horse in the entire world. And here you are, you work that hard, and you go through all that riding, and it takes all this time, and you get one medal. And some idiot just swam 50 meters and got a medal. It doesn't seem fair.
I don't know. I'd like to throw you in the pool with those idiots and see how you do.
I'm not saying I'm going to win, but it just seems like it's a lot easier for them to get a medal. And then you watch tennis where Roger Federer is working for – they they play tennis for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and then at the end of it, they get one medal. And
I got to tell
you,
though.
Somebody hit a bullseye on archery, and they get a freaking gold medal. Please.
My brother and I agree with you in that way, because my brother and I ride a lot of bike now. I've been getting back into bike riding now that we live in Florida, and I watched the women's road race yesterday where they ride like 80 miles in the pouring down rain, and they average 27 miles an hour on their bikes. I'm lucky if I can average 14. 27 miles an hour. Going up the hills, they were doing 20 miles an hour. It was an incredible feat. They rode for 3.5 hours in the pouring down rain at 27 miles an hour. So I kind of agree with you in a little way there. I do kind of agree.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for agreeing with me. Let's go to our first guest. And it is right. Tammy Strons from the Western Radio Show. Glenn, take over.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Hey, Tammy.
For stopping by. Now, you have to settle an argument with us now. Have you watched any of the eventing at the Olympics at this point?
Have I watched it? You guys are, I'm surprised you're even on air, because I'm watching
it
right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Western
Writers
Care.
Sorry today. Y'all are on vacation. Have a repeat show. It's eventing time, Glenn. Only once every 4 years does this happen. And I know I'm Western, but, oh, my gosh, I am all eyes on this.
And you should be a proud girl. By the way, are you on speaker because you're awful hollow for us this morning?
No, I'm not.
Okay. You must be mighty proud with Australia sitting in second place going into cross country today.
Well, I'm kind of confused, Glenn. I'm not sure who I'm going for anymore. Have to say I'm a little U.S., but... Boyd Martin's Australian, so that kind of settles my argument. He's Australian in the U.S., so that's who I'm going for.
Yeah, he was a traitor to the Australian cause. Now, by the way, we just had a report from one of our listeners that said, seriously, Guy Aubrey says, just keep watching the feed. I'm vicariously living through you while cleaning paddocks. So, all right, well, Aubrey, we'll keep you up to date and informed. Jamie will keep an eye on it right now. But, Tammy, you called in for another reason, and it's kind of a serious reason, something that's going on that's going to be fun, but also for a good cause later in the year.
It is. The American Competitive Trail Ride Association is doing a nationwide trail ride, a charity trail ride, to honor and benefit our veterans for the Veterans Day weekend. So that's why I'm calling in, kind of let you guys know a little bit about that. We just kind of setting up rides across the country now. So check back with us in a few weeks, and there should be a list on the website, acfa.us, of rides that you can go. But, you know, the great thing about this ride, Glenn, is all the proceeds are going to charity. If someone hosts a ride, and if they want to host your ride, they can go to acfa.us. But 70% of the money earned is going directly to Horses for Heroes New Mexico. And the other 30% they get to designate to a local veteran charity. So they're supporting the local charities and supporting Horses for Heroes New Mexico. So,
but it's mostly for the veterans. It's supposed to be for veterans, this particular ride?
Yes. It is all for the veterans. Horses for Heroes is a great nonprofit that takes our wounded warriors and puts them in a kind of a cowboy up horsemanship program on the ranch. So a lot of good things happening out there, and this will give them funds to build a bunkhouse and really kind of accelerate their program to the next level. So we're very excited to help those guys.
When will the ride be, Tammy?
It's November the 10th and the 11th, and there are sites all across the country. So
Well, I was going to ask you, if we wanted to do a ride here in Florida, like on the Florida Greenway or, you know, the neat trails we have here, is that something that we can set up as individuals too?
Absolutely. You do need access to 6 miles of trail. You don't have to own it. It can be a national park or a trailway like that. If you want to host one, you need some coordination skills and a few friends to help you and some volunteers. But you can definitely host a ride if there's not one in your area. And then every ride host has the ability to designate a certain amount of those funds to keep them in their local community. And they're also getting a custom silver Ride to Remember belt buckle from Molly's Custom Silver. So there's lots of great things to either host or ride in our Ride to Remember.
Well, that's terrific. And obviously it's a terrific cause that, that we all feel strongly about here at the Horse Radio Network. Now, it's just a casual trail ride. It's not a, you know, it's not an endurance ride. It's not a speed ride. It's not an obstacle ride, right?
Well, there will be obstacles along the way, but there's a lot of different divisions in ACTA, and we've added some new ones last week. So you can actually ride as a non-member now, so you don't have to have the fee of joining up and the ride. But there's divisions that do the obstacles, there's divisions that don't do the obstacles. So whatever you feel like doing, there is a division in there for you. So there's a buddy rider division where you just ride the trail and you don't do the obstacles. So that's a division for someone who doesn't really want to do the obstacles. And if you're super competitive like me, there's an open division where the obstacles are a little harder. So kind of a bit of everything in there.
Now, you're not, please tell me you're not riding the Mini in this, your new Mini in this.
I would be happy. Maybe my neurologist would let me if I wore roller skates and a helmet, knee pad. I'm still a little banned from the horses, Glenn, so I'll be coordinating this and not riding it, unfortunately. So I'm
How
not
is the Mini doing, by the way, though? You got to give us a report.
Bam Bam is awesome. He's so amazing, Glenn. He's the luckiest horse in the world because his sole purpose at the ranch here is to eat cookies. He will run up to you and try and give you a kiss and kind of, you know, he knows you've always got something in your pocket. If not, go get something and put it in your pocket. He's an awesome little guy, Glenn. Everyone needs a little miniature pony like that.
Well, you did a show last week on the Western Radio Show about this ride and about the organization, the charity that is actually going to. And we're going to play your Western Radio Show tomorrow morning as our recorded show. So everybody here at Horses in the Morning will get to hear about that tomorrow morning here.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Rick and Nancy, who run the program, Rick's actually a U.S. Marshal and a Green Beret. So I learned a little bit about that and what that is on the beginning of the show, so I kind of had to plead my ignorance there, Glenn.
All right, so this is at ACTHA.us, correct?
Yep, that's correct. And just click on the home banner with the soldiers, and all the information's there. So.
Very good. Well, thank you, Tammy. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Now go back to watching cross country, okay?
It is awesome. Thank you, Glenn. You know, next time I'm actually going to go to the Olympics and I want to watch. This TV is not even good enough for me anymore.
Where is the next one? I can't remember.
Rio,
that's right. South America.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
The only thing
you
I
and Jamie will
Rio
send you down there on a flight.
Disney film.
I was going to say.
Disney film with the birds.
I think we should go do some Olympic coverage next time in Rio. So we'll go.
Amen to that. I know I'm Western, but, you know, it should be good to take me along.
It'll be awesome. All right, girlfriend, thank you so much for calling. Thanks for doing what you do.
Bye, girl. Thanks, you guys.
See ya.
So what's the report since we left here?
Well, I'll have to tell you that Takayuki Yumira from Japan suffered a fall of horse and rider. And they actually both got up okay. He just hung a leg at one of the fences. They flipped over, and he got up and walked away, and so did the horse, and they let him off course. Currently, Mary King on course. Actually, it looks like she just might have finished. Let me see. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe she just finished. They have a hold. I don't know. I can't listen to it because we're doing a stupid show right now during the freaking cross-country phase. So Mary King on course, looking amazing, of course. And, of course, it's a very important ride for England because I think they're sitting in third place after dressage. So big, big, big ride for her.
Actually, Great Britain after, yeah, that's correct. Yep, yep.
You checking my
that
numbers?
Is correct. Yep, after, yep, third place after dressage, correct.
Awesome.
Well, let's take a break so you can watch that. We're going to be back here. We have to talk about equity.mfg, the place where you go for the best manure forks in the world. Right now, Aubrey said she's living vicariously through us while cleaning stalls. Well, she's cleaning those stalls, we happen to know for a fact, with an Equity manure fork. You can find all of their products. They also have some other terrific products over there. You can find them all at equitymfg.com. You have the choice between the shake and fork and the flex and fork. One actually has a little motor in it, does the work for you. If you clean a lot of stalls every day, that's the one you want to take a look at, the Shake and Fork. You will love that thing. I have a friend in California that got one when they first came out, and they are still using it years later. She said her horse husband will clean the stalls now, but as long as he gets to use the Shake and Fork. If he doesn't get to use the Shake and Fork, he refuses to clean the stalls. Matter of fact, she finally bought a second one, and the Shake and Forks are not cheap. They're not cheap, but they're, you know, she loves it because it saves bedding and it saves time. You can get through 10, 12 stalls in half the time that you can with a regular manure fork. Now, the Flex and Fork is non-motorized, a super duty fork. It has a little suspension system built in, so when your tines get caught on something, you don't have that flicking problem that you normally do. Just unbelievable products. They're made to last. The tines won't break. They're just quality stuff. And all of its products are that way. You have some fencing products over there too, and you can find them at equitymfg.com. And I thought, what more appropriate for Cross Country Day than a song from Templeton Thompson called A Horse That Can Fly. And after we come back from this song, we're going to talk about the opening ceremonies and my very strong opinions about that, and then some favorites and fashion with our friend Leslie from Horse Nation.
Caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head, gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and live a bigger part of the. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch. Out of these dreams, holding on tight, need a good strong calling, and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star. To the left, then straight on till morning. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. Saddle these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good strong tone.
Okay, Mary King has finished this course. We do not know the time because there was a hold on course, but Mary King and Imperial Cavalier have crossed the finish line. And let me just, they're saying that she has 5.2 time penalties. So, what a mess this is. This is amazing, the amount of holds on the courses and stops, because they immediately have to start rebuilding, I think.
Yeah, I think there were a couple jumps there that took a hit. And, you know, a lot of these new jumps are rebuildable, thankfully. They are made to break, and they are made to be able to be put back together again. But it does take a couple minutes to do that. You know, it's not an instant thing. So they're working on that. Hey, I got a story for you here while we're waiting for Leslie to give us a call. You're going to love this. This is about Rafalka, of course, Ann Romney's horse. You know how the mainstream press has just been blasting the sport of dressage as being for the wealthy. You have to be a billionaire to afford a dressage horse, and, you know, no average person could possibly afford a dressage horse. Well, I want to ask you a question, Jamie, because, you know, there was this article that was put out by a website called rawstory.com. And it was about an interview that Jan Ebeling did, who is the rider of Rafalka, with Bloomberg News. And he pushed back against the notion that the sport is elitist, saying that he and others on the Romney's riding team are not millionaires. Riding lessons are not too expensive, nor is the cost of buying a young, cheap horse to get started out. And then this website proceeded to do some estimates, and they estimated. Now, how many horses do you have on your property, by the way?
On our property, we have 6.
Okay. So what they're saying, follow me here with a couple of numbers. What they're saying is the analysis by Current.com estimated that the costs are an average of $28,800 a year to shelter a horse annually. Now, that doesn't include feeding, clothing, transporting a dressage horse. They say that the average horse, if you're going to shows, is $55,000 a year. So now you're showing 2 horses, so you're spending $110,000, you're housing 3 others, you're spending almost $200,000 a year for those horses. Did you know that, Jamie? Or better yet, did Chad know that?
Thank God I have this trust fund that comes from... Who says this? This is ridiculous.
I know. This is their attempt. And then they went on in this article to talk about how... Who can afford $55,000 a year to have a horse? And, you know, the only people that could possibly afford that are millionaires. But they have not seen my bank account. They really haven't.
Yeah, you have a horse in your backyard. Do you know how fast I would be divorced if I spent $55,000 on a horse? I don't even have that money. So I would be so in credit card debt, it wouldn't even be funny.
Yes, that article says, which brings the total ownership cost of having a horse that competes to around $55,000 a year.
That's a laugh. I don't even know how to comment to that, because it's just, you know, and if I can get on my little horse, my horse for a minute here, watching the news channels, it is so slanted. Everything is so slanted. Depends on what channel you're watching as to what you want to believe, and these numbers are just made up. That is the most ridiculous thing. I would love to get the author of the – see if you can find who wrote that article, and let's get them on the show.
That'd be a good idea. Maybe I'll try and find them. That'd be a good idea. I like that idea. I'll see if I can get that – and if he or she has the guts to come on the show, that'll be the other thing.
Because it's totally made up. I would like our army of listeners who have horses and compete that don't spend $55,000 a year. I mean, even we have dressage listeners on the show who laugh at that. That is too ridiculous. My gosh.
I agree. Well, let's get to our next guest, Leslie from Horse Nation, comes on every Monday at 10 o'clock. Wait, it's been a weekend of Olympics, you can tell. Good morning, Leslie.
Happy Cross Country Monday.
Happy Cross Country Monday to you too, Leslie. Well, you know, we have not been here since the opening ceremony, so we thought we would talk about that. But first, I want to invite callers to call in right now in the Call In to Win segment. We want to hear what you thought of the opening ceremonies, or if you had favorites as far as the clothing is concerned for the teams. Give us a call at 347-637-3238. We'll take a couple of callers, and then we'll also pick a winner to win the surprise mystery box of goodies. There are three things in this box. It's a mystery box. You don't know what might be in there.
Glenn, in this mystery box, does it have anything to do with like an old keychain with a key attached that you don't know what the key goes to, and an old pair of shoes that Jennifer was going to toss out? Are these the things that's in this mystery box?
No, they're actually brand new Horsey-type products.
Okay.
Brand new.
And it's worth it. 347-637-3238. But I'm going to call BS. I don't think anybody's going to call because we are currently watching Jonathan Padgett on course right now for New Zealand on Clifton Promise. I have no idea what our show is even about. I'm mad we're even doing one. It's a happy Cross Country Monday, Leslie. Talk to me, girl.
I think we're on the same page. I'm like, try and stay focused. Stay focused.
All right, Leslie. Give us your review of the opening ceremonies before the clothing fashion part, before the teens came in. What did you think of the opening ceremony?
I was out at a Mexican restaurant, sort of watching the opening ceremonies out of the corner of my eye while eating, and every time I'd look over, I would think, have I had that much to drink? Like, this is bonkers, and it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I love bonkers. I think bonkers is fantastic. But I hear you have some pretty strong opinions.
Oh my God, we had jumping stick children on beds. We had that big baby doll that they got out of the Chucky movie and brought out into the middle. I mean, I was blown away. Up until the nurses and sick children, I kind of was with it. You know, it's kind of okay up until that point. Mm-hmm. But when they brought out the hospital beds, I went, well, this is a good thing to show Olympians who are doing dangerous sports who might get hurt, a pile of hospital beds. I just didn't work for me.
Didn't work. So you were not blown away in a good way.
No.
You know, it's so funny that you were sitting at a Mexican restaurant, Leslie, because I was sitting at a sushi restaurant watching the exact same thing. And it was great. I had to watch the replay because it was so much earlier here that they didn't even show it live. They showed it on tape delay. So I was rewatching it, and I had already like, don't check Facebook. And I knew Kim Glenn would be all over it. Just as FYI, Jonathan Padgett has finished with it. Oh, my gosh, just 1 second slow, clear jumping. That's a Ludwig Svanerstall from Sweden has finished with just 0.4 time penalties, no jumping penalties. Wow, he's really going to jump up. Sorry. Carrying on, about the outfits were what was the awesome part. I think my favorite part of the whole thing was when the countries were walking through and they were showing who they are and what they're wearing and all the different people. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, took like 5 hours, I think. But yeah.
The other thing, when the countries were coming in, I agree with you. Did you see they had drummers that were lining the whole thing? You know, all these drummers. They were drumming for like 2 hours. It's like, oh my God, give them a break. They were just the whole time. Talking about Olympic athletes.
Now, did you hear about the Indian gal who? Well, I don't know if she was Indian, but she was with the Indian team, and I think they're calling her an opening ceremonies crasher, kind of like a wedding crasher. Like she kind of snuck in and just like was like, I'm gonna walk with the Indian team. But
no way.
You see
that?
Serious? Yeah. Yeah, they think she was maybe one of like she was a dancer in the ceremonies, and that's how she got through security. They were wearing, you know, it was like green and yellow, and she was wearing just a red jacket, just marching along at the front, like, hey.
Hey, at least she wasn't like at a sporting event where she stripped down naked and streaked across the field. So it could have been worse.
That's true. I think if that had happened, I don't even know if anyone would have noticed.
Before we get totally into fashion, let's talk about the Queen thing. What do you think about the Queen, the whole scenario where James Bond and the Queen parachuting in?
Oh, I loved it.
Me too. I did like
it. She's so cute. She's such a cutie, that Queen.
But she looked bored to death, though. They kept showing pictures of her, and it looked like she was about ready to fall asleep. It was way past her bedtime.
She has been Queen, Glenn, for 60 years. I am sure that at some point she is over this whole ridiculousness. Now, it is her country, so she's got to be a little bit more excited. But how exciting is it to sit here and watch William and Kate all the time? I just love them.
I know. They keep flashing. I'm so glad that they're there, and little Harry. Aww.
All due respect, of course. Because they are royalty. Cute little queen, bless her heart. All due respect. You have to say that.
With all due respect.
I did think that was a good scene. That was the best part. I really liked that little scenario. That was good. And I liked when the rings all came down and then they did the fireworks out of the rings. I thought that was pretty cool.
Fireworks are always cool.
Glenn, I think you just got way too into this opening ceremony is what I'm getting. I don't even remember what you're talking about. Granted, I was drinking a lot of sake at the time, so don't recall all of that. But I do remember, like, one of the Beatles played and blah, blah, blah. The Queen was there. It was great.
All right, now let's talk about fashion. Leslie, lead us off with your best and worst fashion pick. By the way, if you want to call us, 347-637-3238. Go ahead.
Best and worst. As far as best, I liked the Czech Republic. I think that they were the team that were wearing the little galoshes and the umbrellas. I thought that was a pretty cute nod to British weather. And it was in their team colors. I thought that was really cute.
Were they the ones that were wearing the god-awful wellies? Is that the ones you're talking about?
Yes, the ones with their blue and wigglies on them.
Oh, well, that must be a girl thing then.
I thought it was cute.
I'm not with you on that one. That was on my worst list.
My worst list, I think, I don't understand where Germany is going with all the blue this year. And it totally clashes with their. Didn't we talk about this last week? Like, it totally clashes with their colors and their flag.
Wait, what are they? What were you saying? Clashes?
They're wearing like baby blue and pink jumpsuits. I think they made their riders jog in those suits too. Yeah,
it was absolutely the worst. It was on the top of Jennifer and I's crappy list. It was absolutely awful. It really was.
That's weird. I can't believe that. That's not something that's normal. Oh, gosh.
Let's take a break of our thoughts and we have a caller here. So Aubrey is on the line, and I'm told that she is out mowing right now. So let's give her a second. Let's see if we can hear the mower going. Aubrey, are you there?
Hey, I got it shut off. I heard you coming.
So what do you think of the opening ceremonies, and who's your best and worst pick dressed?
You know, honestly, I didn't watch much of the opening ceremonies. I caught McCartney singing, which was good. I liked listening to that, but I didn't watch an awful lot of the opening ceremonies. Germany was bad, though. Like,
yeah.
I saw the pictures. That's awful.
They definitely got the best.
It looks like they're going to a baby shower or something.
Yeah, well, it's like color coded. Like I'm a girl, and I'm a boy, and we're pink and we're blue, and I don't know. That was bad. So I saw pictures of a lot of them, but I didn't really. I watched hours and hours and hours of dressage, but I don't know that I caught more than 10 minutes of the opening ceremony.
Can I just take a second here to point out that? At the beginning of the show, Glenn ripped the German riders, saying that he does not like the German style of dressage, and now we're ripping the clothing attack. You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, Glenn, the Horse Radio Network is going to be invaded by Germans. You're in big trouble.
I'm fortunate, though, in one thing. They're way down on our listener list as far as countries. I think they're like number 12 or 13. So I'm okay there, I think. I think we're okay there. Aubrey, now you, one of the things I found, and I think you might all agree with this, is, Leslie, did you watch All the Countries Come In?
No, not all of them, no.
There are where did some of these countries come from? Since I was in school, there are like a million new countries. And some of them, I don't remember, in the last Olympics. And they have a population less than Ocala, Florida. I mean, there are some weird-sounding little countries out there that I never
like
knew
what?
Existed. I did with just some very strange ones that are in Africa now, some of the Eastern Bloc countries that have been divided up that have the names you can't say, and then some of the islands that are somewhere in an ocean someplace that the announcers didn't even know where they were. I mean, it was there were a lot of those. By the way, if you guys watched it, did you see Liberia come in? They were the ones in the rain ponchos that were colored like their flags. Nobody saw that one.
I can't remember I said this. Now, I must say that you're talking about the island countries, and there was, to me, my favorite outfit ever was Sri Lanka with the Hawaiian apparel. They literally looked like they were going to a luau, and I thought it was awesome.
I got to admit, they did. You're right.
Yeah, and I thought, well, now that's cool. Like, we went all Ralph Lauren and, oh, my gosh, look at our fantastic berets. And they're like, what's up? Hola, you know, like a luau. let's go do the hula. It was fantastic. Now, the worst one, and again, you talk about tiny little countries. Did you see Tonga?
Tonga. I remember Tonga. I'm trying to remember what outfit they wear.
Were some very large men in teeny tiny diaper skirt things. These men were wearing these little teeny white skirts, like little mini skirts, and they looked like diapers, and it was bizarre, and I thought that they had the worst. And Uganda had men in skirts, and I thought they looked fantastic. I thought that you can pull a classic skirt off if you're from Uganda.
On the top of my list was a lot of African countries. I thought I loved their outfits in a lot of the African countries. I really did. Mm. I thought they were cool.
They were festive.
Yeah, they were festive and not festive. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Now,
Aubrey,
what did you think of the lighting at the end there? With all, I thought that was pretty neat with all the little things going up into one big cauldron. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for anything fire, explosions. Like, I'll always give that the thumbs up.
All right.
Well, Aubrey, thank you for calling.
Hold on, Aubrey.
Yeah.
Aubrey, listen. Let me give you guys a little bit of an update. Bad news
for
the U.S.
Who came off?
No, she didn't come off. But Tiana had
a runout, didn't she?
She just did. Yeah, at fence three, she had to stop.
I'm seeing it now. Your feed must be a little faster than mine.
No, I'm actually on the Eventing Nation Horse and Hound chat because now I'm actually watching Tiana start. She just went over fence one, but I can't help but cheat because I think if I want to read it first, makes me less stressed out.
It was useful in the dressage because then you could watch for the right movements, like when they were just a little bit ahead. And they said, oh, that was a nice change. You go, okay, I can watch for this nice change.
Okay, coming around the corner to fence three, he was a little spooky.
That horse is a heartbreaker cross-country.
Yeah, but boy,
he really
nice
is.
And
oh,
they've been
beautiful.
Having a lot of trouble.
He didn't have the best dressage
test.
Yeah,
fence
I think
three
we were...
A problem.
My friend and I were talking about it. I think it's just very, very, very upright, and it just is catching up kind of early, and I haven't
and
been able
so
to watch
offset.
Any of it because I'm mowing. But
they're so offset. They're so difficult to get a good line through there. Glenn, we're not going to talk about the opening ceremonies anymore.
Nope,
nobody
I'm
cares.
Done.
We just want to talk about the cross-country car.
I'm done.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it later. Yay, thanks, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Aubrey.
All right,
you go,
bye. All righty, thanks.
By the way, Leslie, Eventing Nation's been doing a terrific job with their coverage and all the postings. I've been going there to get all the coverage. I don't know what we're going to do during dressage and jumping. because
is there a
we won't have a
venting
nation.
Maybe they'll just keep going with it. I did the live blog yesterday. They've got a blog going that sort of, you know, lets people chat about what's going on as it's going on. And it was so much fun. It was like watching dressage, eventing dressage with like hundreds of other people. You know, like just kick. we just had a really good time.
Yeah, no, it's so fun to be sitting here, and what's fun about the live blogs, it's constantly going on, and there's people from all over the world that are doing it. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there with people from, one person here is saying that they're in Afghanistan right now watching and blogging.
Wow. Well, and Horse and Hound is the one that's running that one, and they have a large reach in Europe. I'm sure that there are thousands of people in that live blog right now watching as well. My feed still is not working, so I can't watch it. So I'm also living vicariously through you, Jane.
Okay. I
keep making little shrieking, gasping sounds. So I'm watching.
Yeah.
Watching.
Well, we have nothing else to talk about. Why don't we just call it a day? We can all go watch, and we'll come back on Wednesday and talk about who won.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's exciting.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Leslie. It is horsestation.com. Horsestation.com.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
My heart. I know. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Leslie. We'll talk to you again next week on Monday, okay?
Okay, sounds great. Bye.
All right. Did we do everything we were supposed to today? We got the commercials in. We're good to go. We'll let everybody go watch now.
I don't know. I haven't looked at a thing. You're the boss. You're supposed to be in charge of that kind of stuff. I got
to
go.
You know what else? You have to go out and teach lessons because you have to make $55,000 to support your horse this year. So you better get going. Thank you. We'll talk to you on Wednesday morning back here live tomorrow morning. We'll have a replay of the Western Radio Show, what we talked to Tammy about earlier in the day. Don't forget, you can hear all of our past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can hear all of the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Enjoy cross country today. Tomorrow is jumping, and then they'll have the medal ceremony. And we'll be back Wednesday morning, I'm sure, with another report from Samantha with a wrap-up of the whole week. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for at least sticking with us today, Jamie.
No, spay, neuter, and geld people, and go eventing. Woohoo! Go Olympic!
Have fun, everybody.
Go Tiana. Go girls. Go in the arena right now.